Welcome to Go Deeper, Wyndham Art Gallery's podcast channel, part of our Go Deeper program that provides an in-depth look at each of our exhibitions. Today you are listening to an abridged recording between Dr. Megan Evans and Marie Clark about the True Lies and Alibis exhibition.
I want to begin by acknowledging that I'm speaking today on the sacred sovereign lands of the Warrawarrong, and I pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and to all Aboriginal people. And I really want to say thank you, Marie, I'm very grateful to have you being willing to talk today about your reflections on Julie Gough's True Lies and Alibis, which we cooked up together last year.
Thanks, Megan. And it's great to be connected again to the Wyndham Art Gallery and be involved in the incredible exhibitions that you guys create out there.
It's a real treat for me to have you come and talk about your part in this exhibition, not only because of that, but also because of your connection to Tasmania as a Trawulaway descendant.
I just so admire Julie's work, and you know, we're both connected through the Briggs line in both our families. And I remember last year when we were sort of looking at doing an exhibition around the 250 years since Cook, and trying to select the artists that could represent that, and just so happy that Julie said yes.
So Marie, what does this work mean for you personally, especially given that, like, that you've got a connection to Tasmania, you've got a connection to Tasmanian history, you've got a connection to Julie, and that, like, all of those things must mean something much more personal to you about this exhibition?
The work that both Julie and I do around mourning and loss, and I absolutely love the work like Missing or Dead. And I think to be able to put it out there and for people to recognise and understand and get the stories behind what those works are about, because it's not an easy conversation for anybody to have. And I think a lot of people are in denial, but when you see that work in the gallery and all of those people either missing or dead or survived, I think makes people think twice about what's gone on, you know, previously.
I know your work often deals with the impact of that loss and grief, and you deal a lot with how people that have been the recipients of that violence, intergenerationally, people are still dealing with the impact of that. And your work aims a lot. Your work on mourning and grief particularly aims at trying to find ways that are using traditional means to deal with that. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, well, I guess when I first started, and again, this is me having to go into the museum collections and research, and I know Julie does a lot of research with the work that she does, and, you know, going in there and researching the Kopi mourning caps, which is a traditional mourning method for Aboriginal people. And it's wearing Kopi, which is a gypsum, on your head, weighing up to 7 kilos, and wearing that anywhere from 2 weeks to 6 months, depending on the relationship to the deceased, and or until it fell off naturally. Or you would take it off and put it on the grave, and then you were free to move on. But it's about carrying the weight of your grief. And then once you take it off, you just feel this lightness. And, you know, to be able to work initially with 38 Aboriginal women on the mourning practices and getting their stories of loss, sorrow and mourning was so powerful. And then to work with 45 Aboriginal men, again, getting their stories, and people in tears after you take their cap off or while they're holding it. And it's, yeah, whatever is going through their head, whether it's, you know, a recent loss or thinking traditionally what that would have meant to their family or their mob, their clan. But it's just such a powerful thing that I've been able to, well, work with yourself, Megan and Emily in the backyard, having people have that experience of wearing the kopi and feeling the weight of their grief is quite an incredible thing to do. And I've also, you know, done workshops all over the world now with that.
I think that's probably why when I received that package of images that came to my home, because the gallery was shut and I opened it and I looked at all those black silhouettes, and it really did make me think about being in your backyard with the kopi on my head and the experience of being enclosed. Like the thing was, when you had it on, it was like wearing a swimming cap or something. It closed over your ears and it shut out the world and it was really safe. And then that you could actually experience you could allow the feelings of grief and mourning to come up, and then taking it off was like lifting off the grief. And I thought about all those people, and all, not the people who were dead, but the people who survived and the people who were missing back then, and the impact of that on their families ongoing, like, you know, the generational impact of that still ripples now in the community. Yeah. And how important the work that you do is in relation to that.
Mm. Yeah, it's like that intergenerational trauma that is just ongoing, and how do you deal with that? And, you know, there are so many different ways that we could use those particular healing workshops for that. But, you know, a little bit further down the track, I think we'll get there.
And you have been, you know, you have been doing that work and you continue to do that work, and I think that's quite extraordinary. It's a beautiful, if you think about the kopi and those heads, they're really beautiful. I'd love to see an exhibition of both of them in the same space, because I think they're a beautiful pairing of both the trauma and the story of the trauma and then the healing approach. The huge piece that Julie created specifically for this exhibition, which is called Trace Evidence, it's a 11 metre work that goes right along the wall. I know that you spend a lot of time researching and exploring the pre-colonial traditions. Can you speak a bit about that and how that influences your work?
Going into museum collections and seeing our material cultural items held there, I remember first time when I went to Pitt Rivers Museum at Oxford University in the UK, and I'd only ever seen images of some of the objects that were held in their collections. And because I recreate these objects and items held in these museum collections, to actually see the beautiful little pelvis bone scraper or the beautiful necklace and stuff, it was a little bit emotional, because these objects are so far from home, not connected to anything. And, you know, one day in the future, I hope to reconnect those objects back with community and family and clan and mob, so that they can give those objects a story and a place and a belonging. And I think what Julie does with her work, which is really incredible, like, and especially that piece where she's used Robinson's book and pulled it apart and highlighted different aspects of it and overwritten on it, is just amazing.
That work makes me think of Julie as a, like, an investigative journalist almost. With Stolen, Julie's using her investigative tendencies, has gone to colonial properties and photographed them from the gate, created a map of Tasmania with all of those pieces linked to, in some cases, these beautiful kangaroo slingshots with stones that she's collected at the places. So what's your thinking on that one? When I look at it, I think I can really imagine her standing there, you know, with this waiting to sling it at someone who drives out the gate. So I'm just interested to know what you think about that piece.
Yeah, well, I wonder if any of the property owners sort of actually, you know, might have been peeping out the window, looking at her, photographing them. Maybe they were too scared to come out. Interesting work. And those slingshots just look amazing. Like, yeah, just how she does her research and then creates her work from that is just mind-blowing sometimes, I think. Sort of who knows what's behind the gate, what's in the house that might relate back to, you know, mob that lived there.
Yeah, that's one of the things that you and I have talked about a lot, is the notion that there is most likely a lot of artifacts and sites and objects that that white colonists or colonial families still own and actually are really important for that sort of important information to be handed back to Aboriginal people. And trying to find a way, sometimes I think that the work you do and the work that Julie does provides an opening for people to maybe think about, okay, maybe I should give that back.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I can't wait for the day when we can finally sort of go travelling to all these sort of little outback communities, towns, stations, and the station owners. Because I don't think if I went there by myself as an Aboriginal person, I probably would barely get in the front gate. But if I went with you, you know, we might be able to have access to the objects, items, and even if they don't give them back, at least they could be recorded, documented, and given back, I don't know, to community or held in museum collections where community have access to it.
Anything you'd like to say, Marie, about what you're up to now, given we've lost you at the gallery, you're no longer with us and we miss you dearly. What sort of things do you want to share a little bit about where your work's up to at the moment and some of the things that are now developing for you out of all that research that you've done over the years and continue to do?
Well, I guess, you know, during these tough times of COVID and after leaving Wyndham in October last year, I left before I actually found out I got an Australia Council fellowship. So that was fantastic. Then a few weeks after I left, I found out that I was the line-wide artist for the 5 new Metro Tunnel projects. And I'm also working on my solo exhibition at the National Gallery of Victoria. And I will be the first Victorian Aboriginal artist to have a solo exhibition there. So, like, no pressure. But, you know, I actually set aside a week to make all this amazing work for the solo show, but COVID hit 10 times stronger down here in Victoria. So I couldn't get my family to come down. So I'm trying to think of creative ways where we can all come together and make, you know, a 60 pelt possum skin cloak, 440 meter river reed necklaces. You helped me create my beautiful Flemish prints, which, you know, I have to have all my work finished by October this year, ready for the catalogue. So we'll see how that goes. And just working on a few other public art commissions. So there's never nothing to do. And my house is like living in the studio, believe me.
A fantastic show. So, yeah, really congratulations to Julie. And thanks so much for your reflections on it.
That's no worries. Thank you. You guys did a beautiful job. It's like one of the most powerful shows I've seen out there. Yeah. Well done.